and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gate of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give unto thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, I am the God of Israel. It should be understood that this man, Cyrus, of which we speak, had no knowledge of the God of Israel. But God raised him and anointed him in order for him to carry out a political movement that will create an atmosphere for the actualization of his people. And just in case there's a theologian that is confused how that God can anoint an unbeliever. God can anoint an unbeliever for political leadership, but he will not anoint an unbeliever to do the kind of priesthood that I'm doing right now. It was the hand of God that was behind Cyrus. And the errand that the anointing on him was designed to accomplish is what is captured in the prophecy of Isaiah. He said that he was holding Cyrus's right hand, and with that right hand he will subdue nations before him and loose the loins of kings and open before him the two leaf gates, and it shall not be shut. How come God, even the God of the Bible, is making a commitment to a total unbeliever that is not a partaker of the commonwealth of Israel? It is because of his purpose. God can kill because of his purpose. He can make alive because of his purpose. I'm not preaching a message. I'm talking about a man called Donald Trump. If you have been following the news, if you've been following the news at all, you will know that there is a Cyrus that God has raised in that nation. And most of what we call COVID-19 and all of the political accessories that have accompanied the destruction of this season, in my opinion, is just a means of trying to discredit him, because he held the record of being the best president in the history of that nation. And it happens to be that his reign has spelled doom to the New World Order and the agenda of the Illuminati. And so they need to create confusion. You know, there is a protest in the nation now, all of those things. A protest doesn't just start. It is arranged. It's organized. At least those of us that study sociology, you know that a trend doesn't just begin. It's pioneered. It's initiated. And when you see the kind of organized protest that we are seeing in that nation right now, it's an indication of the fact that the people that don't want the man to show up for the next term are willing to do anything to achieve that purpose. But you see, God raised that man for a reason. And the presence of that man there has given us, the body of Christ, a window to shoot at the possibilities of revival in this season. God's initiatives are global in scope. Except you see things from the eye view of globalization, you might not understand how something happening in Kenya can overflow into your own nation. We want to pray today and say, Lord, this is a season of revival. And we ask that everything that needs to be in check needs to be in place in order for you to have a glorious entrance into the earth again by the hand of an avalanche of your spirit. Let it so come to pass. We want to say, Lord, yes, the tensions are high. I hear that even witches have begun to intercede. Witches are interceding to ensure that he's dethroned. All kinds of spells, ancient spells that were outlawed, have been invoked. They have been called to the fore in order to see how spiritual forces can be put together against that man's rising. We know, because prophets like Kim Clement, 9 years before he died, had spoken about a Trump that was coming, and how that he was going to go through an impeachment trial. Because, yes, the guy prophesied that. 9 years, and he died before the prophecy came to pass. That is to say that God had seen this Cyrus, and God was willing to pave the way for his purposes upon the face of the earth. Can we pray today and say, Lord, we don't understand the politics of the United States, but we know that there is a Cyrus that you have anointed for this time. We fight against the enemies of this Cyrus. We walk against the enemies of this man that you have raised to be a voice for the church, a strong power for the people of God. That the elections in that nation, let it reveal the fact that nothing can fight your finger and prosper. Can you raise your voice and pray and say, let your mighty hand yet sustain your servant on that throne. Let your mighty hand, let the wicked men be disappointed. There are escalations of diverse kinds in order to misrepresent him, to discredit him, but let it come to nothing in the name of Jesus. Every lover of liberty, every lover of deliverance, every lover of freedom from bondage, cry, cry, cry concerning that Cyrus. He said that the two lift gates shall be opened before him, and it shall not be stopped. Loose the lives of kings, and open unto him the hidden treasures of darkness. And so bless Kufetamina Branta Babone Kabatalia, Shemin Tobesco. We bring an end to the uprising in that land, in that nation. We bring an end to it in the name of Jesus. Entomene subreska vesamina korea ebo sanda babonte keska basabalata ibrasketo beso i bresko fila mate kambelata kumbela ho abresika bresko velamentata i komenso kompreska fatomena aikabahita kompeleo somena korea babatantoske ebreketeza kompelama santa baboria. Ikompali masale mokore. Eskompre ketale kumpali. Ibreskeba sumena kabalon tete. Isome zuzia la bokonde. Abri masuka pranda babonze. Alela la kompre. Alela la 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 ya. Alela kumpe la skuba lute. Abreskete mantane bokomba. Iskabe leto kombo, abresku belase branta babole skabe, askito bre, ala mosai takebo munde, abresketo menakabra santa babola tame, aseli kompreska desa mante kuma, alai kompali zale, alai kompeli askuba la kompa, alai kompeskete, alai kompansome, ai kompeta kusanale, abresko velamanta. In Jesus' mighty name. This is the season for the church. The sons of the bondwoman have had their time with massacres and slaughters and invasions. But it has pleased God in due time to decide to honor his house again and to cause his people to lift up their heads from the heavy burden they have had to bear for many years. And what is fascinating about his goodwill in this time is that he has chosen the continent of the afflicted ones to raise prophets to his name. He has decided to come to Africa. God is an African now. Yes, you will find him in the continent doing strange things. Someone in the congregation may not have been zealous to pray this prayer as much as we have wanted, because maybe he knows a little bit of United States politics and is able to pick one or two things that the current president of that nation did wrong. We are not saying the man is perfect, but we are saying the man is anointed. If you check the records, the U.S. never prospered in all of its history like what happened under his reign. If you check the records, there was never any president that was as bold with the things of Jesus. Such was the grace that was upon Cyrus. As in the book of Ezra chapter 1. Just in case you have your Bible, you may wish to turn. I give you the references so that in the cool of the day, when God stirs your spirit, you can yet find it. Oh my God. The day of the church has come. The day of Africa. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also into writing. It was not just vocal, it became a document. It became an enforced law. It became a law. And this was the utterance that he made that was documented in Persia. He said, "Thus saith Cyrus the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven had given me all the kingdoms of the earth." He acknowledged that it was God. Now, if you see, those days under Obama, it was a taboo for you to say Merry Christmas, for instance. It was a taboo. And everywhere the Ten Commandments were written, which are the laws that founded the kind of liberty that is in that nation, they defined it. The liberty that God gives. And that's why when you come into the court, you are going to see the Ten Commandments. In fact, I don't want to take you too far. All right? All those things were extinguished. And this man started restoring it again. Hallelujah. Just like Cyrus. He was an unbeliever, but he believed that it was a God of heaven that gave him the opportunity that he had. And on the strength of that opportunity, he said something. The God of heaven had given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he had charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Imagine an unbeliever prioritizing a project that is in keeping with the Lord's name. That was the first bold president that could come and say church services must resume. Meanwhile, in Lagos, which is supposed to be the harbinger of the move of God in our own nation, he is kept in bondage, in fetters. And the governor is a Christian. They are still talking about guidelines, you know, fine-tuning guidelines and modalities. And what are these guidelines? They want to give us a prescription of how we should worship. Meanwhile, healing is fundamental to the redemptive marks. Are you with me? Can we pray? This Cyrus was going to use the machinery of the government of Persia, the funding of the government of Persia, to build a house for God in Jerusalem. Oh my God. That's not all. He said, "Who is there among you of all his people?" He acknowledged he was not one of God's people. Huh? He acknowledged that. So, but he's looking for people that are God's people. If you are willing to go back for the construction, you have been given, you are released. If there is anybody under your hand, maybe your servant, your maid servant, I've been serving you for 14 years, and he indicates interest that I want to be part of the project. Your weight over his head is lifted. When people take the anointing into the places of government, politics, leadership, you know the Bible says that when the righteous rule, what happens? The people rejoice. On account of the government of our land. I don't know if we have had an opportunity to rejoice before on account of government. On account of government. But we want to cry and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we strengthen the hands of your servant. We strengthen the hands of your servant. And nothing would deny him access to leadership in another political cycle. Let this political cycle that will begin in the month of November, let it be a reign of judgment, of justice and equity. So much so that the church will be strengthened in that land, and the plans of the enemy to outlaw that which is God's will, let it fail, let it fall, let it not prosper. Can we pray for him one more time and say, strengthen the hand of your anointed. Strengthen. Strengthen the hand. Strengthen the hand. Strengthen the hand. I compelli selico prescuvila. Escompes gavaso sela and presca baita copelante. Iscobre masico bali tesque brente que mezica. Ila menzomena brasque fataba compela sica mene cumbre. Strengthen the hands. Strengthen the hands. Abosque te branta baboli bacadia. Abosque bresco de la mantali cosque masali. Ebra baca parata branta baboria. Isca bezo senala. Ica branta basuke mazeli. Abesco bres gavatuma ke balantosque. Bresco de la mina. Strengthen his hands. Let those working real hard to discredit his efforts, let all of them be put to shame. Let there be mass allocation of shame on the account of your servant. In the name of Jesus, we ask, oh God, that you strengthen his hands. Strengthen his hands. When everything is programmed to work against his rising, when everything seemed to be put in place to paint him black, strengthen the hands of your anointed. Mia soke lambres kavelaye. E compete ke zuze la kapatale. E compete samina kuria. E compete siko branta babolakata. E compasketa mezozenia. E compali cascanda babotamale. Ibresca vesama. Ibreskenta menaculia. Ambezamena katia. Eka banda balata branta babola sakata. Eka breska menzamena tatelia. Ebresketo compela. Amenzo zeli. Amenzo zakembre. Abacumbe zamaturia. Escopresque basima. Aliko patua la campase. Aliko skeba zelima. Laikampela scopreketa. La suma la te akle bonza ika apresco fataminza leto mero mosanta baboria. We give your praise, oh God, as we lift up your servant, we lift up your anointed. We ask, oh God, that your righteous right hand will put to shame as many as intend to paint him black, so that he will miss the seat of his destiny to actualize a balance in the political plane that will afford your church
an opportunity for expression. Lord, let his enemies fail. Let his enemies fail. Let his enemies be scattered. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mobreska vesamina kade. Burasko vesama subre. Buraska petandole. Bresko vilamiso compresca fatale. Ela mama mama. Siko branta siko belakuda. Akembro seke samena tatonke palatua. Abruska papa lesko preda mama.
Arise. Arise. Son of God, and let your enemies be scattered.
Arise,
arise, arise, holy and let.
Rise without your ordination, not without your ordination. Stretch forth your hand over that nation, United States of America. Put to shame men that gang up against your anointed. Let him be given passage to sit upon the throne for another political cycle. Let the needed balance that will project your church be established. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. If you have your Bible, then we'll begin from verse 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now, know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Stop there. That's my verse. And now, know what withholdeth, that it might be revealed in his time. And what this scripture is saying is that there is a spiritual factor that restrains the Antichrist from being manifested. We are still teaching on guardianship, because guardianship is a restraining administrative installation that is put in place to ensure that the potency of the activities of darkness are not given the opportunity for expression. When a guardian is raised among a people, his stature in the spirit affords him the compliments of an entourage of angelic beings, such that if he is involved with your life, the devil is restrained concerning your life. If by any means he is in your city, without you knowing, you are enjoying spiritual covering from his stature, because everywhere he finds expression, there is a restraining factor that is placed to suppress the activities of the kingdom of darkness. Are you with me? Let me show you a few scriptures before we go deeper on that subject. Meanwhile, we are still discussing special messengers, special functionaries that are needed in a time of a revival. We checked, we have studied one of such functionaries, and now we are on the subject, we are on the second functionary, and that is the guardian. Now, in the book of Daniel, if you
a student of the Bible, there's something I want to unveil here in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is a great book of the Bible. Daniel chapter 10. An angelic personality encounters Daniel, and on the basis of this encounter, he unveils many spiritual secrets to Daniel. In addition to one of the things, and that angel I'm talking about is Gabriel. Angel Gabriel encountered Daniel and he unveils spiritual secrets to him. And in addition to the secrets that he made available to Daniel is a secret that I would like to share with us. If you are there in the book of Daniel chapter 10, we'll take a reading from verse 7. And then we'll hear Daniel's testimony. Daniel chapter 10 verse 7. And when we get a glimpse of Daniel's testimony, then I can jump to the verse of interest. But I want to first of all establish the context. And the context is from Daniel chapter 7 from verse 10 to 13. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Next verse. Therefore, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yea, I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Yes? Next verse. And beheld, an hand touched me and set me on my feet and upon the palms of my hands. Next verse. And he said unto me, Daniel, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. Oh my God, I can't trust you anymore. O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy face to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. This is Gabriel that was dispatched. And the fuel, what occasioned this dispatch, was prayer. We cannot overemphasize the place of priesthood in facilitating the purposes of God upon the face of the earth. We always say that prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. If Daniel had not prayed, the administrative structure of heaven responds to prayer. If he had not prayed, even though the resources were there to bring to pass the things he desired, but the trigger to set them in motion was prayer. So when he began to pray, then Gabriel was deployed, because there was a challenge in his delivery of prayer. The prayer was deficient of rich understanding. Because it was deficient of rich understanding, he could not adequately empower the angels that were allocated to support the process he was asking for from the heavens. So much so, because of the weak nature of the prayer, it did not give the angel that was released the statutory authority to engage certain kind of dynamics in seeking to administer the import of the prayer. And it made him quite vulnerable, so much so that the prince of Persia held him in captivity until Michael was sent to bring deliverance. And what Michael did was that he released Gabriel and stood in battle against the prince of Persia. That time that the battle went on was the time afforded Gabriel to come visit with Daniel and to give him education about the things that God wanted him to understand. Alright?
secondly. If Daniel by any means had seized perseverance in prayer, he would have truncated the entire protocol. And as before this time, this was not the first time that Gabriel appeared to him. Gabriel appeared to him before, but in dreams. But because of the situation that was on ground, that was an emergency, Gabriel could not wait for Daniel to sleep. This time he came at daylight. And you could tell all the feelings that Daniel had was because of an angelic visitation. You know, those days when I was still in secondary school, that an angel visited me, my body was trembling. And the way I knew that the angel had come, because I didn't have the eyes to see the angel, but I saw the reaction that took place anytime. And when the angel is coming, I know. I discern it in the spirit. But I was juvenile on those matters. Until subsequently, God began to educate me. But I would like you to understand that there was an understanding that this angel was supposed to bring to Daniel. The part of the understanding that concerns me is what I want to extract. But you can go and do the whole reading and then you will get this dimension of understanding. You see, we have different kinds of intercessors. And each intercessor has a rank that he operates with. The intercessors like Daniel that are guardians of nations, they have deep spiritual access to several critical and strategic information that aids their priestly business over the territory. One of those understandings that Gabriel brought to Daniel is in the book of Daniel chapter 11 verse 1. I hope you know, initially the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. It was 100 years later, after all the entire compendium was put in place, that they now felt, the theologians now felt, that in order to establish a science of reference, that we need to fragment scriptures into chapters and verses. If you go to Israel and you see a Torah, the first thing you will notice is that we write from left to right, but in the Torah you find writings from right to left. That's the first thing. And then the second thing you will find in the Torah is that there are no punctuation marks in the utterances. You see, when God speaks, he doesn't punctuate. Alright, so it was the theologians that added punctuation marks, full stop, comma, colon, and chapters. But originally it existed as a perpetual continuum, and that's how God is. Now, so what we call chapter 11 in this case, for instance, is a part of a flow. A part of a flow. For instance, in the epistles, for instance, they are letters. Do you write your letters in chapters? Chapter 1 of the letter. They are letters written. In fact, those the instruments that God used to pen down those letters never knew that it would become a public document. They wrote confidential, classified letters to the church in that time. And if you are caught in those days transmitting such information that is directed at the church, you'll be guilty of treason. So it was an offense even to transmit such information. So they had classified means of carrying such information. Some of the letters came from prison. I wonder the kind of syndicate that they put in place to be able to. Okay, you have not sometimes sit down and think, how did this thing happen? Because if men were involved, you can reason it out. If human beings with our limitations are involved, we can reason it out. 2/3 of the writings of Paul came from prison. And 2/3 of his writing is what forms the New Testament. It was a terrible time, but they had a syndicate in place to smuggle the truth. There were letters, they were not fragmented, into chapters and verses. All right? So this Daniel chapter 11 verse 1 is what I want to draw our attention to further strengthen the concept of guidanceship. That when God wants to do a thing, the purposes of God are time and season based. But yet, are you with me? Okay, you are not with me. Now let's try. Because you are not with me, I cut off that aspect. You see, also I, this is Gabriel, the I there is Gabriel, also me, Gabriel, in the first year of Darius, the Med, I, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Now this Darius is an unbeliever king. And Gabriel is educating Daniel. Among many other things he said to him to give him understanding. He said, I was the functionary, the angelic functionary that was sent to administer guidanceship to Darius. You still remember Darius? I don't think you do. Oh, let me stop there. Since you don't understand, you don't remember Darius, I will stop there. These were hidden kings, and the purposes of God had to prosper by their permission upon the face of the earth. And because they had a heart that was aligned toward God, what God did was that God sent angels to exercise guidanceship over them so that it would be impossible to destroy them. The presence of that angel was a restraining factor. Are you with me? To ensure that he that has the purpose of God in his heart will not prematurely be slaughtered. You don't know how terrible Satan is. Hey, Satan. And it happens to be because of the time of life. Many times when God wants to bequeath solutions to men of the earth, what he does is that he captures those solutions in children of prophecy. In children of prophecy. Alright? It happens to be that these children of prophecy cannot start fulfilling prophecy when they are children. Because the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth not from a servant, though he be Lord of all. There must be a time of maturity that will have to come before that answer can begin to find expression. But you see, there must be a principle put in place so that Satan will not be able to destroy that answer in his infancy. And that is why we have guidance. People, guidance are in twofold. Just like I showed you watchers. We have angelic watchers and we have human watchers. We also have angelic guidance and we have human guidance. In fact, I can tell you with great authority, experientially, that the kind of angels that minister to you are your category of angels. And what I mean by that, the angels that minister to Joshua in the Bible, Joshua, you know Joshua, the warrior, were angels that were in the warrior clan. The type that ministered to Zechariah was a priest. And all that Zechariah knew was how to minister in the presence of God. And then Gabriel now appeared to him and told him that he was Gabriel. Such a Gabriel that stood perpetually in the presence of God. You see, those are the kind of entities that will minister to you. We are part of a framework, a universal framework. If you have eyes for the kingdom, you will find a parallel mode of dealing that God has put in motion. So this Daniel, are you with me? He was exercising guidanceship in those times to ensure that Israel was not destroyed. And God raised him to a point where he became a voice in parliament. So that when a policy is about to come that will affect Israel, he will be there to lend his words. Alright? And Gabriel was sent to him. Do you understand? That's how the infrastructure is. The level of spiritual protection, the level of spiritual involvement in your life is based on the strategic nature of your assignment in preserving the heritage of God. And so the principle of guidanceship is littered across scriptures. When you find Moses that I spoke about yesterday in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33, when he spoke, that That ceremony where Moses spoke, it was supposed to be a ceremony of blessing before his death. And I'm wondering how the statement, let Reuben live, how that statement is a blessing. In Reuben's case, it was a warfare that he executed from the capacity of his authority as the king of Jeshurun. Alright? But it was supposed to be a blessing service. If you bless Reuben with his foundational issues, his blessings will leak out. So, instead of doing the religious thing, he began to attack the things that would militate against his possibility and his actualization. That was why. So that's the voice of a guardian. He's always saying, let Reuben. What?
I remember many years ago, I think that was 2006. So we went to BSU to preach. It was one meeting, and they said, since I was there, I should give a charge. So when I came, I began to preach. That was when I met one of our pastors. That our pastor was in that meeting. So after the meeting, I went to him. I said, God wants to use you, but you are not ready. When you are ready, come and meet me. Then I left. According to him, he said, what does that guy mean? Then demons now visited him. And the demons so visited him that how do they call it these days? You know, that letter that they advise you to withdraw. You know, the university will not say you are withdrawn. They'll say it's an advice. What do they call that letter? Huh? Not probation. This one is the university is advising you. Well, I don't know what that, there's a technical name for it, and I don't remember that technical name anymore. So he was advised to withdraw because of the multiple encounters with demonic beings. He could not survive the tides that was working against him, and he was advised to withdraw. It was when he was advised to withdraw that he now remembered that there was somebody that told him, when you are ready, come. So he now came when there was nothing to fight for again. And then he began to stay with me and started undergoing training. Hallelujah. He got a jam form. By a directive, I gave him directive to get jump form. When he wrote the jump, he got 270 what? 270 something. That's supposed to give him admission by merit, and his name didn't come out. I was in Lagos in the place of prayer when I saw his admission letter. I called him. I said, I've seen your admission letter. When I saw his admission letter, admissions had ended. Admissions were finished. He now went to the admissions office and told the woman, "I give me my admission letter." On the strength of what I saw. When he became a pest on the woman, I don't know how she manufactured that admission letter. His name did not come out on any list, but he had admission letter. He came and showed me that this is the hard copy of the admission letter. You saw the soft copy. But this is a hard copy. And I said, now you are ready. I'm teaching guardianship, not teaching myself. There is a level of guardianship that this my small level can cover. So I called him. I said, now you are ready. Let me tell you first secret. I labored on that campus you are going to. And my labor is still speaking. So I give you the right to enter into the harvest of my labor. I did not harvest the things I labored. Go and harvest it. He now went there and started a ministry.
and people were coming, the place was growing, God was moving. Then he now came back. I said, this thing is working. I said, yes, it's working. And then those demons that bedeviled him the first time, they heard of the exploits he's doing, and they came to visit him again. But this time, and when they come, he sees them. This time they could not get close to him. You know why I'm saying it openly? It's because he has said it twice here before. That's why I'm saying it now. So he now asks the demons, why can't you? You used to rush me those days. Why can't you? Why are you standing there now? And the demons themselves were the ones that said it was because I was with him. That's what is called what? Guide them. It's not me that said it was demon. Demon, you know? You know demon? He's demon. is demon that said it. It means that as long as I was with him, those demons could not take advantage of him. And in his academic pursuits, he graduated with a first class degree. The person they advised previously, you don't understand. Huh? They advised him previously, but he graduated with first class. When he finished with first class, he came and showed me the hard copy of the result. I said, yes, this is a good harvest. We didn't get first class, but you got this is a harvest. Then the next thing was, because he made first class, they gave him a promise that they were going to employ him. And then the employment was not coming. I was in Lagos again, and then I said, bro, I have seen your employment letter. You have seen it? Yeah. Just like I saw your admission letter, now I've seen an employment letter. And then, you know, now all politics and all those things now entered into the whole equation. But at the end of the day, he still got what? Some of us were wiser many years ago, when many people felt they could prosecute destiny without the backing of a guardian. We knew that life was supernatural, and that the race was not to the swift, and the battle was not to the strong. That was why I went to meet that northern man I told you about yesterday. I went to meet him. I said, I'm a young preacher. I want to be giving report to you. He said, it doesn't happen like that. God will have to reveal to me that I'm supposed to play that responsibility over your life before it can become effectual. If I accept you without God's witness, my presence in your life will mean nothing, because there's no covenant between us. I said, no. I said, I'm very happy that it's God. We are waiting for God. You know why I was happy? It's because it was God that showed the man to me. So I was happy. In 6 months' time, he now called me. I said, it's true, God sent you. So when I went to meet him officially on that ground, he prayed for me. That prayer. I did a lot with that prayer. God showed me that he had given unto me an apostolic ministry, and that I will need the covering of a more matured apostle. And that was why he sent me to him. So when he prayed that prayer and the covenant was set in motion, I had the courage I never had before. Because the implication of that prayer was that anything I do, I will not be a victim of my own actions. The consequences of my actions will go to him. And since he's a guardian, they know how to handle those matters up there. So because of that, I caused much havoc. Much havoc. When I say much havoc, you will not know. You will not know where I've gone to. I've gone to many shrines in this country. I caused much havoc, and I've never had a backlash. And I mean never, with capital letters. Hallelujah. Alright, so that's the background. That's the background. And as long as that guardian is aligned with God, that reality continues, I move with something stronger than my own anointing. Meanwhile, God is helping me, I'm growing. And because of my own current rank, I can exercise guardianship on other people. If you look properly in the gospel, in the labor of the gospel, any man that you cannot trace to a man is traced to Satan. Because in order for you to survive and be a voice in a territory, there is a chain of command that must not be broken in your life. And if you don't keep, or you are not committed to that chain of command, and God doesn't see that there's a depth of submission in your heart, your alliance with such a person will just be plastic. But there are spiritual things that can be drawn from such a relationship. If you are still with me, say amen. All right, now that we have entered that, let us begin our teaching for the night. It is in the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. When you hear people like Elijah cry, "If I be a man of God," that statement did not come out of bragging. It came from somewhere. I will show you. Genesis chapter 2. I need to do something quickly so that I can carry you along perfectly. The framework of things. I need to show you the framework of things. Yeah? Genesis chapter 2 verse 1. You see, the Bible says, "Thus," you know, I said that scriptures were not originally written in chapters and verses. So this "thus" here is the summary of everything that was written in chapter 1. This "thus" here is a summary of the creation story. Alright? So "thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made. Yes? These, therefore, are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. That's my emphasis. My emphasis is in verse 4. This verse 4 that we just read, it's a complex scripture. And what makes it complex is that there is a word there that is not supposed to be there. And that word is generations. These are the generations. You are just beginning the project and you are talking about generations. It means that there was a difficulty in that place. You know, Hebrew language, Greek language, because Hebrew is the original language in which the Old Testament was written, and Greek is the original language in which the New Testament was written. And Hebrew language happens to be more robust than English language. I mean, far more robust than English language. Greek also happens to be far more robust than English language. And in trying to force Hebrew into English, the exercise looks like a funnel. You know, a funnel is big this way, and then it is small that way. Is that true? So the resultant effect is that there are several meanings of that scripture that is going to be suppressed. And if you want to get the full scope of the meaning, you will have to do a linguistic investigation so that you can recover what was suppressed when a heavier language had to be subdued, had to be translated to a language that doesn't have as much capacity, as much, I've forgotten the word. There's a word that is escaping me. Hallelujah. But you know what I'm talking about. So we need to investigate that word generations, because you know that word generations in Hebrew language is, who has a lexicon, an electronic Bible? So you click on the lexicon and tell us the word, and if you can extract the word, then T-O, just spell it. Toledo. That's the word I'm expecting there. So what does it mean?
Family.
It means family, one.
Descendants,
two.
Birth,
three. It means to give birth to. It means family in terms of genealogy. It means generation, meaning that one generation gave birth to another generation. Do you understand that? Meanwhile, the contrast and the comparison in this case is the heavens and the earth. You are not with me. You see, you need to be mentally alert to understand God. God is so vast. Are you still with me? You need to be mentally alert. The contrast and the comparison, because the Bible says these are the toledah, these are the generations. So if you remove generations and you put a family, and the family that we're talking about here is the heavens and the earth, it means that the heaven and the earth, first of all, they are family. But one is older than the other. One is a superior generation that produced another generation. Because part of what toledah means is to give birth to. So therefore, he is trying to make us understand that the heavens or the invisible realm gave birth to the natural realm. Everything that we see in the natural realm is a product of the invisible realm. It came out of that invisible realm. And that's why in the story of creation, God created first the heavens before he created the earth. Is that true? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the invisible before he created the visible. The visible came out of the invisible. Right? So you remember when Jesus showed up and Jesus began to teach, he was teaching of things in heaven. Like the parables were teachings that Jesus gave, and he taught about the things of heaven. But the illustrations that he used to teach heavenly things were earthly things. He used earthly things to illustrate heavenly things. Because there's a relationship between the invisible and the visible. Is that clear? Okay, that's not clear to you. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans. I need to establish that background before we can do this teaching properly. In Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 to 20, I need to say something. Because somebody might accuse me and say, oh my God, you are trying to bamboozle us, quoting Hebrew and all of that. If the Hebrew I quoted and the meaning I made out of it is not supported by other scriptures, it means it's a private interpretation, and the Bible is not capable of private interpretation. I pray that God will give us a desire to research scriptures like doctors, like PhD holders. Our generation is sick because people that stand on the pulpit don't have anything to say. And so a motivational preacher thinks he's a preacher. He comes and says, no. In fact, I can't say it on this pulpit, the kind of things they say. If you go to Netherlands Business School, some of the things we preach in church, in many platforms, you will learn it there. So if you have been to that business school, you don't need to attend a lot of churches. And the reason why it is so is because those churches are not apostolic. They are not carrying on the traditions of our ancient ancestors. There is a body of truth that the Bible calls the faith. It's a compendium of our belief system. And when we fight for the faith, for the destiny of Christianity, we are supposed to ensure that that item called the faith must be preserved in its jealousy, in its purity, in its integrity from generation to generation. Jesus, as friendly as Jesus was, Jesus never cracked a joke. Is there any scripture in the Bible where you see that Jesus cracked a joke? Because if Jesus says, "Oh boy, see your head, oh, or your head big, oh, your head will become big." Oh, you are not aware of that. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. The way God uses words is not the way men use words. The meaning of that scripture is not that God is so modest, so pure, so even though he can lie, but he doesn't lie because he's righteous. That's not the meaning of that scripture. The scripture means that if God speaks, that thing God has said will become true. He lives in an energy level such that his words cannot fall to the ground. The moment he's saying it, the thing is happening. So if Jesus said, "Your head big, oh," your head will become big. Not your definition of big, his own definition of big is what will happen to you. So he knows the potency, the potency of his words. So he doesn't use words the way you do. If we have the permission, we would have digressed for me to show you how God uses words. My God. My God. The Bible calls him the God that raises the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Let there be light. And that was all. He created by an act of his authority. The first time words were used in scripture was not for communication. It was for creation. So when God speaks, it creates, it produces. So he cannot use words the way you do. Do you understand that? Jesus never cracked a joke. Jesus was not a motivational preacher. He was a preacher of the kingdom. And the message of the kingdom is the message that will herald the coming of Jesus. Because Jesus himself said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations as a witness to all people. And then the end will come. Hallelujah. Now, so as we move towards the end of the age, the drive, the mission is to ensure that the gospel of the kingdom becomes the preaching in the front burner of any preaching and teaching ministry. The days of wasting people's time on the pulpit, trying to make people feel nice, and when they leave the place, they meet with the real devil. That all the fun that took place did not bequeath to them the authority to handle. A time came when it was even customary to bring comedians to come and do something on the pulpit. We lost sight of the holy office of the anointing. And the repercussion was that we now had things like headsmen. That word was never used in a bad light until recent times. Headsmen. All those things were products of desecrations that took place in the name of God. And the apostolic church will have to bring correction and model the prototype of the budding of our first ancestors. May the Lord help us in Jesus' mighty name. Where did we stop? Romans chapter 1. Turn quickly. The Bible says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Next verse. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, God has showed it unto them." That them, there is creation. You see, God has illustrated everything to you and me in creation. Verse 20 says, "For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made." The invisible things are being what? Understood and what? Clearly seen by what? By the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Why did he do it that way? So that you and me will be without excuse. That creation itself is a proclamation of the presence of a creator. And anyone that was privileged to walk through to partake of the pilgrimage of life should stumble on that common knowledge that there is a being beyond this realm that is responsible for this civilization. And he must have a purpose for you and me. That was why he created us. And that our preoccupation upon the face of the earth is to ensure we find the purpose for which this being created us and to fulfill it within the window of our time. That's the meaning of life. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen. Why? How? By the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that what? They are without excuse. It is true that the natural realm was given birth to by the invisible realm as a means of illustrating the invisible things, so that the invisible things can be understood when we look upon what? The natural things. Are you here? Good. Now that you got it to that point, I can proceed in my teaching. My teaching was supposed to be from Genesis chapter 2. Are you there? Alright. So, having understood, are you with me? Oh my God. I sense a distraction in this atmosphere. Having understood that this natural realm is a product of the supernatural realm. When God created the visible world, he created a man called Adam. And when he created that man called Adam, I'd like to show you the scripture where God defined Adam's role upon the face of the earth. Alright? Go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 to 17. Genesis 2 15 to 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to do what? Number one role is to dress the garden, to improve upon it. The role of a horticulturist. You are going to be involved with every plant. You'll be involved with every living thing. You are going to be involved with them to improve them, to ensure that they are kept within the scope of divine agenda. You will be involved. And that's why God to this moment has not relieved us. Even though you are still serving God. And no, let me not go there. People will fight me after service. So let me be calm. There is. He wants you to be involved in the natural. In the way the natural things go on. Because he has a mandate for you. And he says you need to occupy until he comes. You need to do the kind of things you'll be doing. He would have been doing if he were physically present. So he put the man first of all in the garden to dress it. And then the second reason for which he put him in the garden, which is the one that interests me in this subject, is to what? Is to keep it. That word keep is militant. Is the reason for which there is a military in a country to protect territorial integrity. Adam never knew that his realm transcended the natural. His realm was a meeting point between the supernatural and the natural. And if he was going to keep the garden, his eyes would have to be open for him to see the lattice that interfaces the natural from the supernatural. You are not with me. Now, what happened in heaven was that an angel had rebelled. An angel rebelled in heaven. And that rebellion took place in the spirit. And because he had rebelled, what happened was that he was expelled from heaven. And that rebellion that had taken place in the realm of the spirit, because the realm of the spirit is a product of that invisible realm, that rebellion must want to find expression in the natural. And so, before this time, Adam was there labeling the fruit. He said, yeah, you are mango. Mango. Pawpaw. You are pawpaw. Banana. That was what he was doing. Hey! And God now came in the cool of the day and said, young man, come here, come here. Your role is to dress the garden and keep it. Second commandment God gave him. Are you there? Second commandment God gave him was that. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Before this time, this instruction was not necessary. But an angel went rogue. The balance of the spiritual realm was altered. And because the spiritual realm is connected to the natural by an umbilical cord. You know, when a baby is in the womb and the mother takes coke, the baby has taken coke. In fact, in the evening, when the baby begins to kick, I mean hard kicks that you are seeing the leg, he's saying, coke good, oh, coke good, coke good. That's what he's saying. He has partaken of what you drank. And you see, the earth, the physical realm, is still connected to the invisible realm by the umbilical cord. And so anything that happens there will find expression into this realm by time and season. It will not come the same time it happened, but it will look for a window in time and season for it to find expression. That's why if a witch wants to kill you, it doesn't come to kill you in the natural. It goes and they kill you, they strike you from there. And then the witch will come to check you in the morning whether the thing worked. He will check you for 7 days. And when you start falling sick, and she knows she's the one that did that thing, she will be the one to be bringing water for you that they will put on your head so that the headache won't burn so strong. You will say, Kai, what a woman. What a woman. What a woman. Live forever. You will begin to bless your enemy. Because you don't understand that enemy that understands the workings of that superior layer will rule in this layer. Anyone that is king there becomes king here. Anyone that knows how to manipulate the laws, manipulate the possibilities, will ultimately win in this natural plane. And SMO will not go with you to the university. You'll be going there, you do first degree, you will do master's degree, you will do PhD, and then you come back with white hair. And as the most location is in the shrine, people will travel abroad and bring messages for him. They will go everywhere. He doesn't need to go to the market. You will bring the item. You will bring it to him. Meanwhile, the SM most of our time, they don't stay in the bush again. They have duplex. They have discovered how to make the shrine mobile. They can move it from place to place. Oh, there is a most that are pastors now. You know now. Those of you that are, let me know. Okay, those of you. The people know what I'm talking about. They are pastors now because they have discovered how to modernize it. It's the same spirit that is at work, but he can get a decent place. He can wear a tie, but it's still the same thing that is transmitted. And as long as he has the advantage in the supernatural realm, there will be people that will be hypnotized by his power. They will be enslaved. Their money is his own. I'm telling you that the entire world is rigged already by the man that has understanding of the invisible layer. Because that's where this natural layer came from. Why do we need guidance? Adam was the first guardian. Because God said you should dress the garden and keep the garden. But Adam did not understand that what resulted in what we call the natural realm didn't come from things that do appear. He will have to develop a sight to see infiltrators that don't have bodies that want to visit his territory. That's when he will begin to fulfill his assignment. The question is, that thing that possessed the serpent, that was speaking through the serpent's vocal cord, how did he enter the garden when there was a personnel that was set up there to keep the garden? How did he enter? He said, dress the garden. He said, what? Keep the garden. We were not told where this strange enemy came from. And for all the creatures in the garden, it was the serpent that he chose. The reason was because there was a character that the serpent had much more than any other beast that God ever made. And he needed to apply his spiritual force to that natural endowment that the serpent had in order for him to be able to fulfill his agenda. But Adam, even though he was a full-grown man, his weakness was that he was not experienced. He was in the heart that he had was like the heart of my son, but the body that he had was a big body like me. Adam was a small man in a big body. When you find men that only know the natural realm, and based on the fact that they have gone to maybe a school or they have made money, they boast. Such a man is a small man in a big body. Because what is going to make that man fall on his knees is something that he will despise. Like the house girl he went to bring from the village to help his wife because she's pregnant. That is skillful in the mastery of spiritual things will make that professor to cry. And then he will discover that there is a knowledge that is more excellent than the one he went to get in the university. Adam was supposed to be a guardian. And the only way he could function effectively as a guardian was the instructions that God gave him. The first instruction was, you can eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree which is in the midst of the garden, thou mightest not eat, for in the day that he eat thereof, he shall surely die. A man's guidance begins to fail when he begins to break the laws of God. Oh! If you see the entourage that follows a man that has found favor in the sight of God, that entourage is gallant. I know many times when I used to walk in Lagos, the report is that my son is sick. This person is sick. And one of those times I just came, because I came to preach in the monthly meeting to go back. And when I came, I walked to my son and I laid hands on him. I didn't pray, just laid hands. Laid hands on his stomach, on his head, on his stomach, on his, I think I did it like 7 times. Without prayer, he stood up. You know why those things struck? I was not around. If I'm around, whether I'm sleeping, what bound that boy there will not come. I know what God has given me. Even if you don't know me, I know. Right? I know. If you go to the fields where I've gone to preach Jesus and you come back alive, it means you know something that normal people don't know. You know something that normal people don't know. In some countries, the hotel that you are even staying is dedicated to a spirit. In fact, the name alone, the name, for those people that know that names mean something. The name. But that's where you stay. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. One of the things that God wants to do is that he wants to raise guardians, people that will take responsibility of their own circumference. He wants to give men authority, he wants to give men stature, so that if they are there and they are functional, there are several things that will be impossible for the devil to achieve. He wants to raise such people that have stature, people that have rank, people that have allocation of ministering spirits attached to them, because they have become an institution by reason of their submission to the Spirit of Christ. Like I said, the potency of a guardian's power is tied to his yieldedness to government. When God wants to establish you as a principal in a territory that demons will have to reconcile with, what it does is that it takes you through a process of discipline. What makes stature is that a man has decided to submit himself to the process of discipline that God has meted out for him. There are seasons that even if you pray, the lack will not go. And God will see how you operate in times of lack. You know that the option of selling your body is there, but you refuse to do so. It means you have accepted to be under government. That even though you are wearing this body, you can't use it outside of the government of God. Another person dictates how you use the body. Then you go through that season. And when you have passed the test, and the angels that come to take record have taken the record into the archives, that this one passed the test, then another season opens up to you. It is when you have passed the previous test. If you cannot be faithful to God with your body in times of poverty, you will discover in times of plenty that it was not poverty that made you sleep around. It was not poverty. It was not poverty. You will go through a test. And when you have submitted to the government of God, that's when God will begin to give you rank. And for every rank he gives you, there's an allocation of ministering spirits that are made available. Just in case you decide in the place of prayer to decree, and God approves that decree, some of those ministering spirits will go to camp. Come on, see the kind of power that issue from your life, the kind of glory that issue from your life. They will not want to pick a fight with you quickly, because they have a data bank in the kingdom of darkness. You went to worry, this was what happened. Went to Port Harcourt, this happened. Went to Ghana, this happened. They have a data bank that they gather data. Okay, something has been given to this one. All right, so when he comes, when you come around, they know that we don't need to fight to decide the end of this matter. This man has come. Give him. It is only if we can make him to violate the government of God that he will now become a mountain that can be destroyed. God told Adam, in the day that he eat of this fruit. That's in addition to what God told Adam. He told me too. My own that he told me is that revelation and pride, they don't work together. There's a fruit. There's a fruit you should not eat. As you begin to ride in glory, there is a law that you must keep. Other people can do it, you cannot. Because you have gone close to the king. And you went close enough for you to hear his will. And so you become a slave to that word. Everybody can go gaga. But you decide that you are going to stand there. And it's in standing in that place that you get the kind of cover that you need to prosecute destiny. Many of you don't have authority to establish things in here. And that's why when it's as if you are prospering, something terrible will happen strangely that will change the situation. But we seek men today that will be loyal to our King in heaven, so that he can bestow upon them grace. Grace not so that they can become famous, but grace so that they can protect God's agenda. Many times the purposes of God are like tender plants that can easily be destroyed. And then he raises guardians to watch, to protect, so that which is God's interest will be preserved. And there are many men like that has walked through our territory, through our nation. And the time has come for us to do the things that they did. And God is more willing to bestow upon us much more grace than he bestowed on them. If only you can understand the code and be faithful. In the day that you eat of this fruit, ye shall what? Surely die. There was a brother those days on campus that taught me how to fast. He saw me one day and said, "Oh, from today you are my friend. Because I see that in you is great power. But God has not given me power." That he was talking about himself. That God didn't give him power. But God gave you power. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "To unlock this power, you learn how to fast dry." Was the one that taught me the power of what? Dry. That was when I discovered that before any semester, he will come to school early, 21 days early, and he will stay without food and water. And on the 21st day, which is a day before people resume, he will make proclamations. The proclamations he makes are the things that will happen in that semester. He became a governor because he knew the secret of spiritual authority. And he taught me how to fast dry. Then I began to try it. I had to go to Otukpo for my first fasting, dry fasting escapade. And when I came out after 3 days, God didn't speak to me. He said, if you go inside and come out, God will speak to you. But for me, after 3 days, God didn't speak. So when I came back, I said, bro, God didn't speak. He said, you are just starting to till the ground. Go again. Yeah, mama. The next time I went, the moment I entered, God was waiting to shut the door, and that was when my eyes began to open. And I saw 4 clouds come together. And the Lord said, these are 4 seasons in your life. This is the temptation that will come in this season. This is a temptation for this season. This is a temptation for this season. If you survive, then we can discuss the issues that you brought to pray about. Don't pray those prayer points again until you have survived this season. For Satan is interested in you. But if you keep coming to me, I will allow you pass one test at a time. I will never give you the strength for multiple tests. No, I will give you just strength for one test. So that if you forget me, it is the second test that you fail, that you will not remember that I told you. So I started learning how to fast dry. Those days I fasted and my leg began to shake like this. He couldn't hold me again. And I remember one of my friends that fasted 7 days dry. His trousers fell in a public place. Who were looking for God. Who were seeking power. Who were looking for power. His trousers fell. Kai! Hai kamo kalamina kambo salite. Yako beri nasiko. We were striving for power. We were striving for power. I was on campus when people started falling down in my ministry. When I come to preach and I take a song, before I finish singing, I was still there. The guy came and saw me in ministry. People were falling. He called me after the service and said, this one that you are seeing now, this is not the real one. No. The one I'm talking about, for which I came to you, it's not this one. It's not this one. Continue. So I continue. So he was on that campus. He deliberately stayed there. Me, I stayed here. As he's decreeing there, I decree this side. Yes. I know what I said that happened. That was why I said those things I said to that my brother. Because he doesn't know the history. He doesn't understand the history. So we began to do those things. God began to honor our words. And then we graduated. 10 years later, I saw this, my brother. I was thinking that by the time I will meet him again, he will be a mafia. But you see, those 4 clouds that I saw was not only for me. It was also for him. And he stumbled at one of them. I was coming to meet a giant. Because I kept the laws. I kept it. Where I went to. I kept those laws. And I continued that tradition. And I know what was subdued in that territory. I'm talking of a territory that is heavily laden with witchcraft. Darkness. That was where I went to. By the time I was coming back, there was a revival in that place. Yes. That was when we became tired of the church we were attending. That this thing that we read in the book of Acts of the Apostles can never happen here. It means that this is not the continuation of what Apostle Paul left behind. Yes, that we will fight until revival comes back. That will be my destiny. That will be the reason why they will bury me. When you hear I die, at my tombstone, he labored for revival. That's the only comment there. He labored for revival. That place of witches. I know how many witches came to kill me in the night. I know how many witches. I know how many people died because they attempted me. And the one that survived came and testified that there are 2 angels that follow me. I didn't know the devils, people that were possessed were the ones that told me about my security system. That there were 2 angels. One woman, one of the women was so angry. And when she entered within the field of those angels, what killed that woman, that chest pain that killed that woman, they know the source. It was an angel that struck her. In the natural, she became one thing on the chest. It was that thing that killed her. Do you know that these witches invited me to come and pray for the woman? You know, I was not mature. Maybe the thing will go. You see, but the people that inflicted it, they didn't give me the authority to reverse the action. So I went there with my open heart as a pastor. Bring life. Bring deliverance. Favor. Hey! She died them all. She died them all. She died them all. Oh my God. By the time I was coming back, I was looking for my friend. But I discovered the law God gave, he didn't keep it. And when I met him, he was a dwarf in the spirit. He had gone through many, many wildernesses that were not his destiny. Just because he could not keep the law of the guardian. We are going to pray today. And there's somebody in this hall that I'm preaching to. Because you were moving with God so strong. And you did not keep the law. And that glory that was upon your life, that glory lifted. You are seeking that glory now, but you have not quite seen it. It is because of you that I came out with this sermon today. The scriptures that God gave me was to testify about your experience. Because today God is willing to restore your robe. And if you are here and you are the one I'm talking to, then you can kneel and ask for your robe again. Come and kneel. Now, you see, when you are in a meeting like this, if you are ashamed, you are a victim. You are a victim. You are a victim. You are a victim. Okay, we can move that. You are a victim. You are a victim. If you are ashamed, you are a victim. Now, hallelujah. God is raising guidance. People that will change, the scope of things. People that will change the scope of things. I want you to do something while you are out here. Bring repentance to the Lord. Mention how you did not keep the law and ask him for mercy. If you do that, he will reach out and he will give you back your garment. Can you talk to him right now? Talk to him. Can you talk to him? Can you talk to him? Isako man sa litro kombe. Isako man se brias ke sobria lama. A garment will come on you afresh. For a new beginning, God will make possible the things that have become impossible in your life. He will cause your face to shine. Talk to him quickly. Talk to him. Basso sobina brantelima la baburia. Nebroska velasso se la brento minacadia mansaleco prescopia saita compresca vata manta la baburia. Isa manto compresca vasabina cadia presco velato comperana masico brasca limanta. Elo monsebria tata bolima cante. La hosque tamina bronda zika mento cobresca basamina tatelia ama kapalata masali apresco velamis convele ki cobraski sobenala babatale ebre mene sobria viga bantose la propompata i copela curia shaminanta boja shaminanta la bacuria babarata mesco prela batale. Hear the cry of your people. Miso salita braya. Ameno compresela, e coprela. Amasa ito compre. Alla babodi macadia brantamina scoprela. Gemina la boboria. Alla babababa. Ura mamasa menanama.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I come with your people and we ask that you show us mercy. And the things that you considered us unworthy of because of our inability to subscribe to the requirement of your government, we yet plead that it might please you to restore on the life of everyone opportunities, privileges, anointings, graces, doors, actualizations. Make available one more time in the name of Jesus and show every one of your sons and your daughters a sign that indeed you have lifted up the ban and a new season has been released. A new time of possibilities have been declared. Oh Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. You may go back. I salute you. I salute you. Yeah, sing that song.
Take over. Jehovah, take over. I cannot know you as I want unless you help me to know. I cannot seek you as I want unless you help me to know. Take over.
Pray one prayer before I run. Just a prayer. Just a prayer. Listen. As the Lord takes you deeper, and just like a businessman needs capital to begin business, you need anointing to prosecute destiny. And for every layer, every measure of this commodity that God makes available, there are laws governing it. I was preaching here, I was preparing from the office to come and preach here one day, when that my friend now came into my office. And he said, "It seems you have left us behind." I said, "No, that's impossible. What do you want?" Say, "I need 100,000. I knew that was not what he wanted. I gave him 100,000. What he needed was for me and him to go back to where we met God to cry. But he felt he needed 100,000. So I gave him. I gave him with honor.
But that 100,000 did not restore what was lost. There is a law. There is a law. There is a law. There is honor working for God. There's honor in it. But you know what? As it goes higher, the laws increase. Until the only possibility left for you will be a narrow path. A narrow path. The type you will be moving like this. Because if you turn this way, you will lose your peace. There is a law. Can we ask that God will? Many things our mentors told us those years, that it was like they were trying to make us afraid. I am living in it now. And it was better than they told us. I'm living in it now. The way of the kingdom will lead you to a path that is narrow. Can we ask for grace, that God will give us grace to survive the law? For in the day that ye eat of this fruit, ye shall surely die. Receive grace to keep the laws of God. Receive grace to punish the expectation of heaven. God has a plan for your life.
Let's open our mouth and receive grace. Rakete keboro lohosi sidini kiska predita vil. Lereto si senite ko paradi dianto kasidi. Lite kebero toniati zizini hisko faro daniate ko borodiza. Hindu atota leke komo notondu atu isku paradia neko skita peredia niko zazini kiska peredita. Delita niko skenta perindi ato zeke komini zizi niku skipridia nizazani to sekledina ziza niko petita paradi. Ele fedia nito zize niko skeperiandu ka ikaparandi zizo nika skuta lefentita nizalanta. Merita zanzanati skuperiando ziza niko skita lefenta librianto zekuta like skita lefedina kuskeperiadi. Lord, we receive grace. 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 Lord, we lay hold on your 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 grace. Lord, we lay hold on 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 grace. We take delivery of your grace. We take delivery of your grace. We take delivery of your grace. We make contact with your grace. We receive the deposit of definite grace. We receive the deposit of specific grace. We receive 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 grace. We lay hold on 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 grace. Zike teke paradite ko poporo didalito. Iteke pokorianti taligati taniande ko katigomeni. Indaliku zizi ni kentabuzi. Metina luzan toke peridanila. Ekandi atomila. Erekin katiyu. Iluandeko. Ikendeliza. Itandelizo. Erontobuza. Iruanto padizo. Rekokokokodizo. Eratatatadiza. Rantatatalaladizo. Ironto sotolikanto boronte. Reconto poto mondo bolo monto paradonse. Inte condabila hanzalita zuzi. Into parandiato zencladina zuzi. Iratoniande coparigando coskenta. Manto parandico zencladiana zizi. Intelova racatadizu. Rocococo diva. Ipa paraladiza, ranta talalaladizu, irokoko koko baralizu, ikotomando balalamanta badiza, iriando kaskita menta, intalala gaskanto perondia, iruande koko zizani topadianu, rikotomana totaminizinu, irokotomana totaliketo parato zako paradilota, elikotomano tazuzani kosketa parandi, ranto soto liketo manditayande koska, into parato siketonia gaskalite predu. Lord, we lay hold on your grace. 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 For it is written, where sin increases, the grace of God increases much more. Lord, I receive grace. For your requirement for my life, I receive grace. For your requirement for my life, I receive grace. For your requirement for my life, I receive grace. For your requirement for my life, I receive grace. For your requirement for my life, I receive grace. For your demand on my life, I receive grace. To make the most of your demand for my life, I receive grace. Not to blow it, I receive grace. Not to fail your demand, I receive grace. Not to fail your test, I receive grace. Not to fail your demand, I receive grace. Oh God, I receive grace. Oh God, I receive grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. The prayer point has been distilled and handed over to us. It is grace. If you go home, find time to pray. There is a demand of God upon your life. There is a very intense test that will come. And when it comes, you will know indeed that if I will survive this one, it is grace that will make me survive it. If it has not come yet, then forget it. You are not under any test. If it has not come to convince you that you will really need grace to survive this one, then it has not come. Just prepare. Amen. And it is real. Right now, let's cast our offering. While I was an undergraduate, there was a little grace of prayer. I am saying this one now because the offering is going on. I've not finished. There was a little grace of prayer that came, so we were praying and praying and praying and praying all the time. And I didn't know that it was a grace that was helping me, because where we were living, it was Sodom and Gomorrah. The accommodation we were staying, if you are coming, that was when I saw the practical illustration of the scripture that said, look straight, look unto Jesus. First, if you are going to your room, your eye must be straight. Don't look to the left or to the right. If you try it, you will see what you didn't bargain for. If you come out of your room, the person next door to you will be doing some stuff. So I received grace and gave myself to prayer. And I didn't notice what was happening again by virtue of the prayer. And I didn't know that it was a grace that was working upon me that helped me to survive until a friend of mine that had a carryover came to stay with me. He begged me to stay with me and he stayed. I started lamenting. How have you been surviving here? How have you? He complained so much until I asked him, what exactly is the problem? And then he said, can't you see this gear? Can't you see this one? Can't you see this one? And where I survived for 4 years, he didn't stay up to 1 year. A gear. When I went to the class to read, and the lady saw me in class, he rushed to the guy in the room. And he nearly did stuff in my own room. That I stayed for over 4 years, that nothing happened. An attempt of going into sexual immorality happened upon him
for up to 3 times in that my room. It was him that was using his own mouth to confess to me eventually. But I didn't notice it because there was a grace that. In short, when I look back upon those days, I began to be afraid in retrospect. I began to wonder that some things that happened that time that I overcame, I am now thinking that I began to be afraid for things that have happened already, that if it happened now, will I be able to overcome it? So I began to be afraid in retrospect. But all those things are grace. The things that you think you can't overcome it, there is a grace that will make you overcome it. So as we go home, let's take time to pray and strive until there is a definite impartation of that grace upon us. Amen. We may wish to rise up right now as we adjourn the meeting. And by 3 p.m. West African time, we hope to reconvene here again as we gather in at the feet of the Lord to complete what He is doing in our lives. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.